LeaderShield, an EPO equine, can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Coming back here, and I think we got a little. There it is. I have to bring this back. Yesterday, what did I ask? We were going to, you know, close out the show. And I told you, you weren't going to recognize, or you would have a hard time recognizing the young voice of this legend. This is Route 66 by the Rolling Stones. That's Mick. Nobody, I got a handful of responses, and nobody was close. Crazy. Here's a voice, though, you will recognize, because when you turn on quarter horse races, you turn on thoroughbred races, you turn on In the Money, you turn on this show, and you, the dulcet tones of NTAM 1215, you'll be greeted by. Good morning, Nick.
Here I am. Good morning, Steve. Yes, even Louisiana Downs last week, I called.
I saw that.
Filling in for John McGarry, yeah. So it's very, very exciting. Many will recognize my voice, and I will contribute to the Rolling Stones conversation by saying that myself and two of racing's legends, Travis Stone and Joe Dougherty, formerly of NYRA, saw the Rolling Stones in concert in Vegas in 2016.
How about that?
Very strong.
I've never seen the Stones, and I probably was stupid not to catch them. I had a couple of opportunities. I'll tell you what,
they were damn good. It was very impressive. In fact, they balanced out the show perfectly. Mick came out for about a half an hour, and then he got his little break, and Keith started singing, and of course I use that term loosely, and by the time everyone got exhausted with Keith, the whole band came back out. So it was exactly the way it should have been in terms of production quality. But yeah, by the time we were all baffled by, first of all, how Keith was even alive, let alone how he was singing, it was time for Mick to come back out. They played for about an hour and 20 minutes after that nonstop, and did a really awesome job with the encore doing You Can't Always Get What You Want. They brought a local choir out and did that as the first song on the encore. So yeah, they were great. I mean, it was, you know, I thought to myself, God, imagine seeing these guys 40 years ago. And so I'm glad we got to do it, especially with the whole band together at that point.
The one legend late in the game that I got to see not once but twice was Sinatra.
Oh, that's tough to beat.
And it I gotta tell you, I saw him at Riverfront Coliseum, and then at Kemper Arena, and so this has got to be 80. It's got to be 84, 83, between 83 and 85. I should really look up those shows. And that one of the things, I was blown away, and then have that same conclusion, like, oh my God, what was he like if he was like this in the 80s, what was he like in the 70s, 60s, 50s, and 40s?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what you always harken back to is, you know, somebody still got this kind of talent. What were they like when they were in their prime? And, you know, for people like that, hey, look, you know, if only Elvis had been able to handle aging and getting into what may not have been his prime as well as Sinatra did, then he would have been another one that would have been
around
forever to keep entertaining everybody.
Well, let's doobie doobie do a recap of last week.
Yeah, big weekend of racing, of course. I mean, on the New York front, hard to say anything about it without talking about Todd Fletcher, who had an incredible weekend. He swept the stakes races at Belmont between Saturday and Sunday and Monday, actually, all 3 days, winning the Manila on Monday with Annapolis, and he won the Perfect Sting on Sunday with Jouster, who really isn't particularly good, so that was maybe the strongest training performance of the weekend. But, I mean, it's all about charge and life is good, right? You see horses run like they did. Life is Good is obviously just a supremely talented horse, and, you know, we've got a real showdown looming between him and an Olympiad and basically anybody else who wants to line up in the starting gate in the Whitney. And, you know, what I hope is that there's obviously a tremendous amount of concern on the part of the horsemen about taking on a particularly good horse. That's why we seem to have a hard time using a six saddle cloth in a grade one race. But Life is Good stretching out to the mile and an eighth at Saratoga. I don't think there needs to be as much concern. Olympiad is obviously a very talented horse as well. You would assume that Fletcher would run back one of his horses that has faced Olympiad in recent tries, like Happy Saver or American Revolution. So that could be really fun. Imagine what it would be like if Flightline was in there too. It would really be incredible in a truly stallion-making race. But yeah, Life is Good was terrific. Poor Speaker's Corner has now had the misfortune of running into probably the two best thoroughbreds that are four-year-old and up in his last two starts in Flightline and Life is Good. And really, he's none the worse for wear, and he'll be rerouted to a race like the Forgo and will be very, very tough in there. I think Speaker's Corner really has earned more in defeat in his last two starts than he ever had in any of his prior victories. And, you know, what do you say about Charge It, Steve? That was, you know, I don't know exactly what to attribute it to. He clearly was facing five overmatched rivals when Nabokov had the little run-in with him, and it seemed like he couldn't breathe after that. He really stopped abruptly. And obviously, I mean, even if you thought the Charge It's a lot better than Nabokov, he wasn't supposed to completely quit at the half-mile pole. But he just romped. And maybe he's the late-developing type that is going to really come on in the second half and assert himself the best three-year-old around. I would imagine that if they're going straight to the Travers, then there'll be plenty that line up in the next few weeks to go through their preliminaries before that race. But that's shaping up a tremendous race with him and you know, obviously everybody else is out there. Epicenter, Zandon, Early Voting, Jack Christopher, you know, everybody who could end up there. Rich Strike, the Derby winner. A lot of opportunities. Unfortunately, Mo Donegal is hurt and won't be participating, but I think we'll see a lot of very nice horses line up for that Travers. So yeah, really fun weekend of racing. And I know we've got another one here at Belmont and Horseshoe Indianapolis, among other places, in advance of the big day, which is just 6 days away, opening day at Saratoga. They'll draw that card tomorrow.
It's crazy to think. We'll be home this weekend and gotta shift gears and get into high gear for it. And you know, couple of performances actually that I did not mention. If we're doing a quick recap, Gulfstream has sort of broken up the old Summit of Speed, which was a wonderful day for years at Calder. But Princess Rooney, CC, smart placement by McCarthy, wins the Princess Rooney, the Grade Two, and very quietly, George Delgado with Willie Boy and Chantel Sutherland won that Smile Sprint with a 98 buyer. So there's an emergent name. And I mentioned at Delaware, Midnight Stroll for Terra Nova, George Weaver with Main Event in the Kent, and a couple of other places. Bound for Nowhere won the Highlander up at Woodbine for Wesley Ward. There was an interesting dead heat, if you didn't see Lady Spite Spear and Crystal Cliffs for Motion. Dead heat in the Nassau, and Mrs. Weber and Mark Cassie with Super Hoity Toity in the Celine. And on July 1, Cassie with Frosted Over, and Kaz Kimura in the Dominion Day, and Becca Taylor won the Great Lady M. For Steve Miotti.
There was also a Churchill race, as I forgot to mention, too. Those two, the two-year-old effort from Gulfport on in the Bashford Manor on Monday was sensational. I mean, there's a horse that whether he ends up in the Saratoga Special or straight to the hopeful, you know, it looks like Steve Asmussen is well-armed again. Of course, he swept the grade ones for two-year-olds at Saratoga last year on closing weekend. He looks like a very, very good horse. And it was a solid performance from Wonder Wheel winning the debutante as well. So it looks like we've got some nice two-year-olds pointed towards the Spa, which, of course, will always be fun. And then, you know, I did mention Olympiad, who won the Stephen Foster over American Revolution. And that was a performance, I think, that I expected Olympiad to win. I think Olympiad is really, really good. And I'm very intrigued by the prospect of him facing even better horses. I tweeted last week after his race, every time I watch him run, I'm still completely baffled by what happened in the Cigar Mile last year. I'm not going to go into detail on it, but go watch the Cigar Mile last year and watch Olympiad very closely. And if you feel like you have any idea, tweet to me.
Well, you're thinking that way, and I'm thinking about the baby Yoda at Saratoga, which remains.
It was the sickest beat of all time, right?
Inexplicable.
I mean, we met a horse that was so much better than him.
Jeez, unbelievable!
It's one of those where you will have nothing to show for it in terms of currency, but we know we were on the right horse that day, right?
Well, I sat with Lee Einsiedler, and we were doing this. The Olympian's going to win this, right? Can't lose. And we sat there and like, what just happened here? And then, you know, subsequently he's run off five straight or whatever.
and Baby Yoda can't warm him up now.
No, it's the craziest. That one remains a mystery. All right, let's unlock the mystery of the Euros invading New York. And these two races, if anybody was unhappy with the smallish fields, this will cure you. The Belmont Oaks and Derby came up fascinating.
Yeah, a couple of really good races. I've done a pretty significant amount of Euro work. It feels a little bit like the Breeders' Cup in trying to find some of these replays and looking up running lines and also runs and things like that. I'll tell you what's interesting about these couple of races, Steve, is that there are a number of horsemen who have had success in this country that are sending over horses that are coming off of particularly bad efforts. And, you know, looking at the Belmont Oaks first, the one that you're sort of immediately drawn to in that respect is With the Moonlight, who is coming out of the Kazoo Oaks, which is the Epsom Oaks, where she was 11-1 in an 11 horse field for Charlie Appleby. And she did no running at all. I mean, she chased the pace for a bit and then completely stopped. I don't know if maybe it was the distance. I think that's probably the easiest excuse. It was her first try against group competition. She obviously didn't exactly wow anyone. You know, in the past, this was the kind of horse that you would say to yourself, maybe she needs Lasix. Of course, that's not an option anymore. But Appleby has been so good sending horses over here, you know, what with the three Breeders' Cup wins last year and sweeping the middle of the year grade ones for females with Alfica. That you just, it's sort of an In Charlie I Trust play that you feel like you have to use her. And so that was kind of the direction that I wanted to go. You also have two O'Briens, one Joseph, one Aiden. And I was a little intrigued by Agartha, who was coming out of the Irish 1000 Guineas that was won by Homeless Songs. Tuesday was in that race and ended up finishing second and then promptly came back about 12 days later and won the Epsom Oaks in a really game performance over Emily Upjohn. For Agartha, this is a big stretch out in distance, but, you know, I would only remind you of State of Rest last year, who was coming out of a series of one-mile races into the Saratoga Derby, and it looked like it would be a big distance test, and he ended up passing it with flying colors. He's a horse who ended up winning the Cox Plate. So if you're going to trust a trainer to stretch a horse out in distance, I think that Joseph O'Brien is definitely one of them. Now, this was a filly who was really, really good at two. And maybe she hasn't quite duplicated her form this year, and he's looking for a little bit of a different opportunity on a left-handed track with firmer turf. But I think Homeless Songs and some of these horses she's run against are particularly good. Concert Hall is also very good. I think one of the two O'Briens win this race. I think the Concert Hall is clearly the one to beat. She faced Elders last time out. She got into some pretty serious traffic trouble and ended up getting elevated via disqualification of the third place finisher. She's just been knocking heads with really good horses. And a little bit like Agartha, she's probably run against slightly better. I think the thing that separates the two of them for me is that Agartha is going to be a better price. But I would use both of them as A's, and I just think the domestic horses in here are in a really, really difficult spot. I don't think that any of them are are particularly scary. I know that New Year's Eve was a really, really nifty winner of the Edgewood, and it was an eye-catching performance, but boy, it's hard to really put a lot into those Churchill performances. And, you know, you kind of remind yourself of Santin in the Manhattan and how he ran coming out of that big effort in the Turf Classic. And I think the New Year's Eve was helped by the pace, and, you know, she made this big wide move, and it was definitely beneficial to be way off the rail. Consumer spending's gotten good in her last two starts. She actually ran pretty well in the Breeders' Cup last year as well. And Haughty is a horse who's shown a lot of talent. They just look like they're a little lesser when push comes to shove stacked up against these Euros.
All right. Boys.
So Belmont Derby, yeah, you know, this is another one where I think the American contingent is actually in even more trouble here. I don't know how an American horse could win this race. I think that we know that there's going to be a solid pace between Emmanuel and Classic Causeway. Classic Causeway, who is now suddenly probably a horse that wants to go 7 furlongs. He's now going a mile and a quarter on the turf. This is not the most clever placement by any means. And you know, talking about the domestic horses, Emmanuel's win in the Pennine Ridge was actually very poor, in my opinion. It was actually a very underwhelming performance. This is a horse who is bred top and bottom for turf, and he got a very, very easy lead and really was pretty much all out to hold off two allowance horses. And I'm going to be very, very surprised if this horse is a factor at all. So then you have the Euro contingent, and Stone Age is the best of them. He drew the worst, though. He drew the far outside post. I think he's definitely going to appreciate shortening back up to a mile and a quarter. I thought the mile and a half in the Epsom Derby was probably a little bit too much. It was worth noting in the comment line that he was a little jittery before the race. He was sweating, and he may have ended up running his race before that. Aidan O'Brien obviously won this race last year and with Bolshoi Ballet and knows how to win in America without question. So he's definitely the one to beat. Nation's Pride, a lot like with the Moonlight, is coming in off an underwhelming performance. And, you know, maybe with him it was also the distance and he wants to go a little bit shorter. Do you just simply take this horse blindly because of Appleby? I mean, that effort at Newmarket two starts back was really good. And if he runs that kind of race, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. The other thing is that he has a lot of positional speed, which I think makes him very dangerous. And I'm looking for Frankie Dettori to put him a little bit off the pace. I'm taking a little bit of an off-the-wall Euro as my top pick, and he may not be good enough when push comes to shove. But I'm going to pick Machete. And I like the French form. I thought that this horse elevated his game in recent starts, including the second place finish behind Vidini. Vidini looks like he might be a complete and total superstar for the Aga Khan and Jean-Claude Rouget. And he destroyed this field last time out. All things considered, Machete was beaten about two lengths for second, and even less than that behind Modern Games. Modern Games is a good horse, is a solid 3-year-old, and he's going to dance a lot of the big dances over there. I'm wondering also if Fabrice Chappé is looking for firmer turf, and I think he's going to get it clearly in comparison to what they race over overseas. I love taking some of the lesser heralded Euros in these situations, and I think Machete really fits that bill.
All right, let's run down the 10th, 11th, 12th here at Indiana, and we'll construct the ticket.
Yeah, really nice card put together by everyone at Horseshoe Indianapolis, and the John Schuster Memorial, it's got a big field and looks like it should be run at a very strong pace. I saw some people opining on Twitter in recent days about where Ivar would eventually make his 2022 debut. I think he's been entered two or three times, and I guess it looks like it's going to be here as long as Paulo Lobo is comfortable with the outside post. And all things considered, this will be a pretty good spot for it because he's going to get a good pace set up. He really, really just lays over the field on paper. His best races are just much, much better than anybody's. And someone like a Hot Brown is probably at a disadvantage pace-wise. You know, he's going to be stuck inside. He's going to have to show speed. And I think he's going to get a lot of pressure from the start with the likes of Cavalry Charge and Grace Fable. Run and Ray should be forwardly placed. I thought Duke of Hazard was a little interesting. He was second by default behind Mason. But he gets Lasix for the first time. Now he's second off the layoff. I've never been the biggest fan of Wesley Ward around two turns, but this is a horse who might have a little bit more talent than some of his rivals here, and I think he's going to be a decent enough price. I'd love to find an excuse to bet Peace Achieved off the long layoff just now in Norm Cassie's care. I just wonder if he may end up needing a race, and I think when push comes to shove, as far as the cross-country pick five goes, you're going to want to lean on Ivar, and then you're going to want to use backups like some like at Hot Brown and Duke of Hazard. And that's where I would probably sprinkle in a horse like Peace Achieved. That's the Schuster Memorial. The Indiana Oaks is the second of the three races at Horseshoe Indianapolis that are in the cross country pick five. And Brad Cox looks like he has a lock on this race, because if by some chance Interstate Daydream doesn't win, Patna is probably among that second tier of horses that are likely to win the race. Interstate Daydream was a real revelation in the Black Eyed Susan, running a very, very good race. I didn't expect her to run that well. And I mean, it's worth mentioning that the race she ran at Oaklawn with Lasix is arguably her best race other than the Black Eyed Susan. So she gets Lasix again. She's better than this field. There's no point in going on and on about it. She's a horse that has really developed as a 3-year-old. She's taken on extra ground without issue. And I think the only horses who can beat her are Runaway Wife or Patna. And quite honestly, they're both going to have to run a lot better. They have in recent starts, so I wouldn't spend a lot of money on backups there. And that takes you to the Indiana Derby, which I think is a fun race. And I think there's really three horses when push comes to shove that I want to use is the 4, 7, and 8, King Ottoman, Best Actor, and Actuator. And I will not use Rattle and Roll in this race. I don't see any reason to bet him coming back in a week. And I think that he is facing a better field top to bottom than he did last week at Churchill. King Ottoman ran in a decent race in the Texas Derby. It's very clear that Steve Asmussen likes this horse. He entered him in a $300,000 stake race as a maiden, and that race that he's coming out of two starts back at Churchill was very, very good. Warrior Johnny came out of it and won. Gasoline came back and got a 90-plus buyer speed figure in his next start at Belmont. And, of course, King Ottoman won his next start at the Texas Derby. So I think he's an interesting horse. Best Actor looks like he's got a lot of talent and some upside. He probably can sit just off the pace. And Actuator really improved for Michael McCarthy last time out. This is a horse that looks like he's still got a lot of upside as well. Appears to be training forwardly. And I just think those horses are going to outfoot a horse like Rattle and Roll so much. And I think Rattle and Roll's problem is that when he is in a slower paced race, he can be more involved and he can be dangerous. He's going to be in a faster paced race here, and he's either going to expend too much energy staying close, or he's going to fall too far behind to make up a lot of ground on a surface that I think rewards forwardly placed horses.
All right, let's put a ticket together, Nick.
I would say, Belmont Oaks main horses are the two O'Briens on the towards the outside. Exact numbers 9 and 10. I would back up with a little bit of 1, 6, and 8. And then in the Belmont Derby, I'm going to use my long shot pick, Machete, who is the 6. As I flip through here, also going to use the likely Euros on the outside, the 10 and 13. So I would be on 6, 10, 13 as mains. And I really don't think I'd use any backups there at this point. Then the Ivar is a lone A in the Schuster, backing up with the 1 and 6 and 10. And then I would loan a Interstate Daydream and back up with the 3 and the 7. And I would finish off in the Indiana Derby with the 4, 7, and 8.
There you go. All right. So let me read that back to everybody. And interesting, we've had a couple of views on this, including Marcus, who is kind of against Ivar. So the A ticket, 9-10 with 6-10-13 with 12 with 5 with 4-7-8, and backups in the first leg in the Oaks, 1-6-8. No backups in the second leg in the Derby. 1-6-10 in the Schuster as backups. 3-7 in the Oaks as backups, and no backups in the Indiana
Derby. There it is.
Derby. Beautiful. That's a winner, and quite reasonably approached. Nick, when we talk next week, it'll be spa talk.
We will be one day into the greatest 40 days in American racing. I can't wait.
Nick, thanks so much. Are you playing, by the way? I'll use you as a as another reminder, the Naira Bets contest tomorrow.
I am not, but I encourage anybody to. I simply have some family obligations that will make it difficult for me to keep running over to my phone. And so I am not, but it is a great opportunity, $3,000 buy-in, seated pool. So if you can get involved, do so. They're going to do the $300 contest weekly at Saratoga. They're also going to do another one of these $3,000 ones on Four Star Dave Day, August 13th. So a lot of opportunities there. And yeah, since your vacation, I actually won the weekly contest 2 weeks in a row. So it's a lot of fun, and it's well worth getting in. There's going to be about twice as many people on a weekly basis for Saratoga as there was for Belmont.
There you go. There's from a, as accomplished a contest player as there is. A big push for the Naira Bets. $3,000 buy-in with the $5,000 seeded pool. And take advantage. I'll send out the link later as we wrap up. Thanks, Nick. And Tam, 1215, everybody. And we'll talk to Nick next week. Let me get Dave Grenig in here for a quick blast. And then we'll close out with a visit with Hammer. And looking forward to it. And wanted just a touch with Dave and get his thoughts of the two races, the two stakes that we didn't talk about with so far this morning, the Suburban and the Victory Ride as well. Dave Grenig, are you all packed? Are you ready to head north?
Not at all. I haven't packed a thing. Not ready to go.
Well, what is your routine? What is your tradition when it comes to making the Long Island to Saratoga sojourn?
Well, when they moved the meet back, and now it encompasses my anniversary, I have to plan around that. But when it was before they moved it back and infringed on that part of my life, I would go up the Sunday or Monday before. But now Monday is my 25th wedding anniversary. I think it would be frowned upon to vacate the Long Island on that day.
We all concur. All your readers and friends and admirers say, stay home, and you and Beth enjoy a lovely 25th anniversary. Unbelievable! Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I love it. Well, we will see you here. It's funny. Your anniversary is at the start of Saratoga, and the Siakas are at the end of Saratoga.
Right, and then I'm sure the extension of the meet we've been up there for Labor Day now for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Exactly. Well, they, for years and years and years, they would have anniversary dinner, which I think was September 1 on at Ciro's, but that's been they've opened up to a wider audience. Give your anniversary dinner choices, celebratory places in Merrick. Where do you go?
Well, actually, we sort of celebrated last night since everyone's schedule is messed up. We went to Roots Chris and Garden City.
Ooh, very nice. Always a fine choice. We found, for those of you in St. Louis, by the way, I haven't given any of my food revelations, Dave, on the Route 66 trip, but we found a place in St. Louis called Frank Papa's that was unbelievable. We got into St. Louis the other night, and I'm poking around, and I find this place on Yelp or whatever, and it was so spectacular, and I wanted to give them a shout-out. This is two brothers, but the family, it's the family restaurant for years and years on Brentwood Boulevard out on the western suburbs in St. Louis. Frank Papa's, out of this world. Rob and Adam, I can't thank them enough. We really had a nice, it was our kind of our romantic dinner that we had on our trip. So there's a, make a note.
Very good.
Next time, maybe
there's someone in St. Louis.
Exactly. when you're going to go cover the St. Louis Derby at FanDuel. Dave, just wanted to touch up for the wrap up on the Belmont season. And, you know, we didn't talk last week, obviously. Charge it. That was as, I don't care who he beat. When you win like that and you're running against the clock, that was amazing. Life is good. Chopped up and spit out Speaker's Corner. Some thoughts about wrapping up the spring meet.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk about those two performances, Charge, it was very impressive. I think the three-year-old division, I don't really think anyone's laid claim to it yet. I'm sure that there will be a workout in Saratoga Sunday or Monday by the forgotten horse of the division, Epicenter, the Derby and Preakness runner-up, as he prepares for the Jim Dandy, but, out of sight, out of mind, right? So he's sort of been that. And meanwhile, Charge It, who was, I thought he was going to be a little bit more of a buzz horse going into the Kentucky Derby than maybe he turned out to be, but he didn't run any good in the race, so he lived up to any type of buzz that the buzz horse has never run any good, so he didn't. But he had an excuse. He had a displaced palate. They did a myectomy. And I think we got to see what Charger is capable of. Like you said, no matter who was in there, I don't know that there were too many horses that could have beaten in that, you know, on Saturday. Got to step it up now to the, he's going to most likely train up to the Travers. They'll get the acid test there, hopefully. Hopefully we get to see everybody. Obviously, it's sans Mo Donegal because he's out. But if we can get Zandon, if we can get Epicenter, if we can get Rich Strike, if we can get early voting, maybe even a Jack Christopher after he runs in the Haskell, you know. I'm sure there's others I'm leaving out. But if we can get them all together on August 27th, maybe we can settle it on the racetrack and get a better idea. But he certainly threw himself in the mix there with that performance.
Yeah, very much. And really all spring long there's been – you know, there's been emergent horses and stakes performers that, and even the two-year-olds are kind of trickling out now as well. So everything in place for what should be a great Saratoga. And, of course, we'll get into a serious preview next week. We'll be live from the spa Thursday and Friday. And, Dave, that sets up this sort of goofy Stars and Stripes festival. I guess we're still calling it Stars and Stripes in the aftermath of July 4th on Monday. But certainly the way these two, particularly the two turf races, the start of the Caesars Turf Triples came up. Got to be impressed and excited about those races tomorrow.
Yeah, they're very much wide open events, I think. I know that the, you know, Charlie Appleby and Aidan O'Brien have, you know, two of the horses to beat in both legs. But I don't know, in talking to the connection, you know, the assistant to Aidan O'Brien, you know, I know Concert Hall might be the shortest price of all the horses that have been made, but he's not, you know, he doesn't come in here with an overwhelming amount of confidence that, you know, she's going to be the right one. I like in that particular race, I think New Year's Eve is very intriguing to me in that spot. I thought she was very impressive at Churchill Downs. I even thought, I went back and looked at her Allen Lacombe Memorial, whatever that race is, at Fairgrounds.
The Black Cat.
That she got third in that spot was pretty impressive considering the trip she had. She wound up, you know, very wide. She had boxed, bounced around, steady, bumped, and she showed that she wanted to fight on. And she only got beat a length by knees and hips. And then she came back and beat that horse in the Edgewood. Blinkers added, a very good run. She's worked here once, I saw, with Lady Rockstar, a horse who was supposed to be running the River Memories, but bureaucratic BS prevented that from happening. We have a lot of bureaucratic BS here in New York, by the way. But anyway, New Year's Eve was impressive in that workout. And, I guess my one concern with her would be, is that late kick as effective at a mile and a quarter as it is at a mile and a 16th? But I'm willing to put a few shekels on it to find out. Charles Appleby's horse in there with the Moonlight. I know, both, you know, he said both course and distance of the Epsom Oaks did her in. If you draw a line through that, you know, her Pretty Polly race. There's a couple of Pretty Pollys in here. The Newmarket Pretty Polly, that's a listed race. She was impressive there. And, you know, you always respect Charlie Appleby when he comes to New York or comes to the U.S. I mean, I think he had a 58% strike rate last year or something like that. And the Cura's Pretty Polly, which is a Group 1 Concert Hall for Aidan O'Brien, ran fifth in that race. And she got bounced around pretty good along the fence there. And, you know, she finished fifth, was elevated to fourth through a DQ of some sorts. And but I like the fight that she showed. She was back to last in that spot after she got bumped around. And then she got Ryan Moore got to the outside, and she closed and, you know, made up as much ground as she possibly could, and was only beaten four lengths. So I think she's talented enough to get the job done here. But, and I think so is with the Moonlight, but for a little value and whatnot, I'll take New Year's Eve.
Well, the boys' side of things, 13 of them, and interesting that both of the Aidens end up drawing wide, Stone Age, 9-2 with Ryan Moore. One of my favorite pictures, Dave, I've ever taken, are those pictures of you talking to Ryan Moore going down the stairs to the jocks room at Belmont.
There you go. I'm sure he's hoping to be talking to me again. He may
exactly.
not realize it, but I'm sure he's hoping that he'll talk to me again. Again, it's, you know, same sort of deal with both Stone Age and nation's pride. They both ran in the Epsom Derby. Neither one ran very well. I think it's a combination of softish ground and the mile and a half, beat both horses in. And now they're back to what they've done best, the mile and a quarter. I'll tell you what's a bit interesting was that both Appleby and both Aidan O'Brien horses, they seem to want to be involved early, which is a little bit different than what you know you typically see. And I guess we'll find out how their speed matches up, I guess, with some of the speed, the North American speed, because in the Derby, at least, it looks like there's some legitimate early front-runner types. Classic Causeway, an interesting spot choice here for Kenny McPeak, second time out, trying the turf. The horse did breeze on the grass at Saratoga the other day. The final time was 103. I didn't get a report on exactly how that all went. But Manuel wants to be forwardly placed. Stone Age, I think, wants to be in touch there, and even Nation's Pride, I think these horses want to be close, which could set it up for someone, lurking in the weeds there. Who that might be is a great question. I think, though, that the Europeans will wind up taking this one, either one, Nation's Pride or Stone Age. Of the longer prices, I think the two I'd be most interested in would be Tis the Bomb and Limited Liability. Tis the Bomb has some, you just look at the paper, you just got to sort of cross out a few things, namely the Kentucky Derby and the Holy Bull, because he's just not a dirt horse.
Yeah.
But it's a little odd that he hasn't run on turf, since the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf when he was second to Modern Games.
Yep.
He did win the two synthetic races, in which he beat a little horse known as Rich Strike. I'm sure Kenny won't go out and say this publicly, but putting Classic Causeway in there can only help just about.
That's true.
Come from off the base to make a run. And then Limited Liability, I think, is sneaky. He's listed as 12-1 on the morning line. A bit sneaky here, I think, Steve, because of, he was closing in the Pennine Ridge, and there was no pace in that race. Emmanuel got loose on a lead, 51-3, 15-4, and just was, way better, just took advantage of the pace scenario. This horse was seven lengths out of it, sixth, he was last, and he came running to third, only beating the length and a half. I think in a more truer run race than I expect this one to be, I think he could, come with a run and potentially, should get in the top three. And if he were to win it, it wouldn't surprise me. And I might actually, depending on what the price is, might throw a few dollars on him to win as well.
Dave, we should mention, because they're also on the docket, the Suburban and the Victory Ride. And the Suburban is a five-pack, which we've gotten a steady diet of. However, these are five accomplished horses, and it's an interesting group.
Yeah, I don't know how accomplished they all are. I have to say Max Players has gone the opposite way. I mean, here's a horse you thought was going to be sitting on a decent year.
Yeah.
Coming off last year, and I don't know what's happened to him. And I know he's back on a track that he likes, but wow. I mean, he'd have to have some major form reversal to be a factor here. I would say that I would anticipate, since they did pop him out of the gate on Sunday, that they want him forward, because there's not a lot of pace in here. Untreated would probably set the pace, although that wasn't really what Todd Fletcher had in mind with Pimlico Special, but it just worked out that way. And then when you look at this race, there's not a whole lot of pace either, so it might work out that way again. I'm just not sure if Untreated is, at the level of, say, is a true mile and a quarter grade two type of horse, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And Max Player, I have to toss him just because of his form. Forewarned, look, anything's possible with Uriah. But to me, it obviously comes down to the first captain in Dynamic One. And Dynamic One, each race this year has gotten a little bit better than the one before. I thought it was pretty good in the Blaine. He just kept coming, He was just charging. It looked like a horse that wants to do the mile and a quarter. He didn't want to do it last year in the Travers at the Kentucky Derby. But, in talking to Todd Fletcher about it, they're sort of taking the Vino Rosso approach. They put him away. Nothing majorly wrong with the horse at the time when they put him away after he finished last in the Travers. They just wanted to let him develop and grow up. And if you recall, Vino Rosso had the same thing. They gave him all that time off. He came back and had a banner year championship year. I'm not saying Dynamic One is going to be the Eclipse Award winning older dirt male, because I would highly doubt it. But he does seem like a horse that has improving, and it looks like he's landed in the right spot. First captain, ran a very nice race, the Pimlico Special, though, man, at the top of the stretch, I thought he was done. And then he kind of re-rallied and came and beat, Vindictive and Untreated. So he's a grinder. He should like the mile and a quarter, and he's undefeated at Belmont. So if it's anyone other than First Captain or Dynamic One, I'd be surprised.
Finally, quick glance at the Victory Ride, the three-year-old fillies that are basically trying to work their way to the test.
Yeah, a bit of an interesting race because we've got some horses from out of town. Smash Ticket, I believe, is Todd Fincher's first starter in New York, and coming off a monster win at Lone Star, how that transfers to this, I don't know, but I guess we'll all find out. Michael Chimbetta's filly, Half Is Enough. She's done absolutely nothing wrong, just has done it on lower level tracks. Happy Soul's back for Wesley Ward. When she wants to run, she can. She might be a thorn in the side of Pretty Birdie, who looks like she just wants to be on front in front. I know Norm Cassie was trying to get her to see if she was a test horse, running her 7/8 the last two times. I think he's found out that she's not. She's probably a prioress horse. And but she'll be out front. Hot Peppers has come along, and even Sterling. So it's a pretty wide open race, but I would think that Hot Peppers, Pretty Birdie, and Happy Soul could all take each other out of contention there with the amount of speed they have, and potentially set it up for a Smash Ticket, or maybe Sterling Silver, who was poorly placed when she ran in the Busher and the Ashland, but she's 3-for-3 against New York Breds, but all three for one turn. We're all one turn sprint races, which is what this is, and I think she could be sitting on a potential upset here from off the pace under Trevor McCarthy, who's had a really good meet, by the way.
One of those absolute patented turnbacks, where, here she was, she picked up checks, the last significant check running fifth in the Busher and the Ashland, and then the minute she turns back, and also against, against her like company and state bred company in the Bowery, but the turnback was the key as opposed to, just state bred company. So, nice.
I might disagree.
All right. Well, 8-1. 8-1 is the right price in there.
Yeah.
So it's a nice group in the Victory Ride, and of course, all the test. We don't have to worry about a 5-horse field in the test. The test always comes through, and one of the great races of the summer, amongst many great races of the summer. But it's been a very good Belmont spring. Dave Grenig, I will see you around the racing office later this week. Happy anniversary, many more.
Thank you very much, Steve, and look forward to seeing you. Take care.
DRF Grenig, everybody. There we go, and we will wrap up. We got about 10, 12 minutes, and I did threaten or explain that I didn't think we would have a lot of conversation, racing-wise, really, with Hammer next, because he had traversed the grounds that we had already, before we ever got on Route 66. Rick Hammerly, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
We're great. We're both, Tina and I are I don't know if we did this the right way. Maybe we should have done Route 66 first and then gone to Mexico for 6 days to just sort of lay by the pool. Instead, we had this crazy, frenetic 5-day jaunt from Arizona to Missouri and then across here to Indiana, but so we are a little wrung out from the road, but we've had so much fun. It's been an amazing 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, if you started in north and headed this way, you could have gone traffically the way Route 66 was meant to be traveled from Chicago to Santa Monica, but you traveled on the road that I travel on a lot of times, heading from California back to Kentucky and parts east. But I'm glad you got to see some of the sights, and hope you got to able to take a little dip out on some of the original road that Highway 40 just overtook, and you can just imagine 50 years ago when there wasn't an interstate, and all these little towns thrived from hotels and their little curio shops on the side of the road, and it's every time I go I see another skeleton of a hotel that used to go and but it's something you need to see, and especially for your first time, a glimpse of the West how basically how rugged it is. When you get out 200 miles out of California through Arizona and New Mexico, I mean you're in the country there. That is unknown to East Coasters unless you see it.
I completely agree, and whether it was the ranch lands, the flat expanses, the thing that is jaw dropping are the buttes and those bluffs and the way we came in too, because we flew into Phoenix and have to drive through Sedona. The two, three times that Tina and I have been to Phoenix, and to Tucson, of course, for symposium, we always said, we got to get up to Sedona, we got to get to the Grand Canyon. But the opportunity to stop in Sedona for lunch and just gape at what is out there. And then from Flagstaff heading east, you're just treated to a landscape we just aren't familiar with in the Northeast and on the Eastern Seaboard.
Well, you got a taste of it, and that's why when you sent a couple photos, I said, you will come back and we'll go on a little trip through Utah and Colorado, and that was it. You just got a taste. You haven't seen anything
right
as far as rock formations and desolation until you've been to parts of Utah. But anyway, I'm glad you got to do it. It was exciting to hear you along the way, and I'm glad that I was able to give you the advice about you get a room, because when you're driving along those parts of the highway and it starts to get about 4 o'clock and you're planning ahead where you're going to stop for the night, you better get a room because they fill up quick.
Yeah.
All the truckers and everybody's got to stay somewhere, and there's nothing worse than you get about 8 o'clock and you're tired, you're ready to pull over, and the old no vacancy signs up there, and you got to sleep on the side of the road. So especially this time of year. So that's great. It was great to hear. You go and like I said, I'd like to be able to. One of these days, I'll show you some of the cool offshoots. But it sounds like you hit the Petrified Forest, you hit the Meteor Crater, you hit all the little spots that are right off the road, which is great. And there's some other little secret ones to go to too. But very cool. I need to tell you about a little trip that I took, kind of an impromptu trip. I just got back late last night from Lexington. I made a little run. I had to go see a few people. And although I was in town yesterday, I really had nothing to do with the Jockey Club Equibase situation. Honest. they're going to check the records and see that I was there for the day. But no, I mentioned I was coming to town, and I was talking to Alex Sillies Jr. And he said, you can just stay at the guest house at the farm at Gainesville.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm going, maybe I'll just get a hotel. Well, luckily I ended up staying in the guest house there, the Whitney guest house at Gainesville Farm. And kind of dropped me off and said, yeah, whatever you want to do, go ahead. Everybody knows you're here. Just do what you want. I didn't have a car. And that's my first time spending any more than a drive-through at a farm. And I got to walk around. And, I mean, I walked for miles in each direction. It seems like never got to the end of it. And I'll tell you what, it was so cool just walking from, like, paddock to paddock and seeing horses. And I was walking through barns to see mares with their foals. And, it was just kind of like me and the atmosphere and the horses, and man, I don't know. I missed something through the years. I never went on one of those farm tours and spent the time to go through, because I was going to the races. I didn't want to waste time on a farm tour. I'm telling anybody that's listening right now, when you go to Kentucky, book a farm tour. I mean, and book the one at Gainesville if you want to. It was just fantastic. It's the first time I actually got to be alone with horses. But I mean, now I'm talking about alone. And it was, I feel like a new person. It was unbelievable. Just a part of the game that I just never, being a city boy, never got to experience. And I'm not a big promoter of tweets, but I sent a tweet out yesterday or the day before Away They Go. Go check it out. It's just of these four horses that were in the field. And I walked by, and they kind of checked me out. And then I walked back again, and I stood at the fence. And they made a little move, and then they would stop, kind of seeing, you know, who is this guy? Then they made another little move, and they stopped again. And then one of them led the way, and they all come, you know, walking up to me and putting their faces in my face. And it was, I mean, it was just, it was surreal. So just another part of the game. And you wonder, you know, do people question, you know, our love of the horse and things like that. I mean, I'm talking about this is, you know, these people, everyone involved in this game that's involved with this animal is just, how do you not love the horse and try and do the best thing by him? But, I had a magical time, there. So I'm highly recommending, you know, fan and even people in the business alike that haven't experienced that, take a tour. I mean, I got to see just stuff, you know. I mean, they have that farm is part, it takes up part of Greentree and the old Whitney farm, and they're all connected. And they have some of the historics. I mean, two of the three fillies that won the Kentucky Derby are buried there, Regret and Winning Colors. 20 grand, Peter Pan's buried there, Equipoise, just the list goes on and on. I mean, you kind of just get goosebumps if you know the history of the game. I just had a wonderful time there, and I can't thank, you know, the farm and Alex for letting me do that. But, anyway, that was, that was where I was the last couple of days. And it was just, like I said, it was an impromptu trip and kind of a, out of nowhere, this experience I got to stay in this guest house. So anyway, that was my fun trip. And as you know, just listen to you talk to Dave. I mean, who'd have thought 20 years ago somebody would have told you that Saratoga was going to open up before Del Mar? They would have said you're crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, what's going on here? Next week, right? I mean, 6 days it opens.
Yes. Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah. And, you know, I went last year because of some scheduling thing. I went last year in July and earlier in the meet than I thought. You know, some people didn't like it. I kind of liked it a little early. And then I went back, of course, in August as well. But I liked that early part for some reason. A little bit slower. You know, you got to go to some of the restaurants in town that maybe you couldn't go in August. So it's still good racing. So don't be afraid to go early. And, you know, it doesn't have the same intensity as later in the meet. But you know what? Saratoga's still Saratoga, and so no reason you can't go early.
Agreed. Hammer, I'm going to put up a link, given what you talked about with your visit. Visit horsecountry.com. The Horse Country Initiative in Kentucky has basically paved the way for tours, private tours, public tours, group opportunities. It's all laid out there. It's a one-stop shop to do you know what you're encouraging people. So I'm glad you brought it up, and the Kentucky tourism people have they heard that call a few years ago and put this together. Visit horsecountry.com.
Yeah, it's you know, I didn't think I'd be that taken in, to tell you the truth, and it was just amazing. Like I said, this is all I talk about. What'd you do in Lexington? Well, I had to go to the farm, and I just go on and on. I mean, I just never thought I'd be that into it.
I love it.
A city boy like me, but it was healing. I felt like a new person walking out of there. But no, it's all good, and it's good to see you know, coming out of it. I didn't get a chance to do too much handicapping. I thought I was going to get some stuff done this weekend, but you know, you start looking at the Belmont cards and the two cards put up at the Prairie in Indiana. It's like, maybe I won't be getting so much work done. Right?
It ended up being a tremendous weekend. We should also, as we wrap up, we should also include the Los Al Derby. The two Baffords, two O'Neills, and a Sadler, but there's a good group of five there as Los Al starts to prepare to give way to Del Mar. So that's another of the weekend activities.
And Ellis Park, right?
Opening today. Yeah. We talked to Dan Bork to start the morning. That was it.
Yeah, so Ellis Park opens up today. So a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, it's great. You know, it's, we have our dips and we have, you know, we like to talk about all the negative stuff, but things are going pretty good right now. We have some problems we need to deal with on the inside, but we're looking at them. So anyway, I wish everyone a start to a great Saratoga and summer meet, and we'll catch up along the way. But check out that video at awaytheygo.com. It'll hit you. Believe me.
Thanks, Hammer. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the help on the trip. Going to wrap up. Hammer and Dave Grenig and Nick Tamaro, James Scully and Scott Shapiro, of course. Marcus Hirsch, Mary Rampolini from DRF as well, and Dan Bork, safe meet to everybody at Ellis Park starting in just a little bit. Back with you Monday from home, Saratoga on Thursday, as hard as it is to believe. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
There is a soul.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slowdown Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirmed Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners billing other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube.